Welcome back to the Safety Storytellers Podcast. My name is Stacy, and I am your host. In various industries, quiet quitting is a growing problem. And in terms of safety, that essentially means that the other workers have to take on the safety workload of the quiet quitter. Randy Milleron explored this when I recently chatted with him. Randy is the safety manager for the city of Gillette in Wyoming. Be sure to listen to this because Randy, who has been in the safety profession for 26 years, admits he has been a quiet quitter three times in his career. Okay, Randy, I'm so happy to meet you because you're on social media like everywhere on LinkedIn. You do cool things, but you are speaking here at ASSP on quiet quitting. What does that mean for you?
So quiet quitting is a really cool new concept. It's really not a new concept. Everybody thinks it is. It got hyped out of COVID with the Gen Z population. And what quiet quitting really means is doing the bare minimum without getting fired.
This is so good. This is a great, because we don't do quiet quitting at my house. I have kids and they don't quit quietly. They just like, they quit and they like, bah! Bah! And they make, you know, they make a lot of noise. So this is a new concept for me, quiet quitting. I understand what you're saying, because there have been times in my life where I just did the bare minimum and I literally can't stand it because that's not who I am, but I've done it. Yeah. But it doesn't get anybody anywhere.
No, and what it really does is if I decide to quiet quit, we're on the same team, then the workload that I would normally do, someone else has to do. So you really jeopardize the team aspect in the fact that, well, someone else is going to have to pull my weight. So, yeah, you may be disgruntled against the company and, you know, you're mad about maybe not getting a performance raise or your evaluation went poor. And so your ideas of thumb the nose of the company. And
absolutely.
Do just enough just to get by, just not to get fired. And so in my presentation, it was kind of funny. It's kind of like a play on AA. So, you know, I'm sitting high. I'm Randy Milliron.
That's amazing. I love this for you.
So towards the end of the presentation, I kind of go over what it really is. I talk about it, you know, tell everybody what we're going to cover during the presentation, and then I stop and get very solemn, and I said, well, after doing all the research for this presentation, I have an announcement to make. I'm Randy Miller, and I'm a quiet quitter. So when I look back on my career, so now I've been in safety for more than my 26th year,
okay.
I've quite quit three times. So when I knew that...
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm loving this vulnerability.
It was, yeah.
This is my favorite. I love it!
The transparency is taken down. Is unveiled. But when I worked early in my safety career, I knew that I was at the ceiling. So if you're at the ceiling, and even my general manager, God rest his soul, he told me, he goes, Randy, they're just going to 3% and 5% you to death for as many years as you're here.
Oh.
Even if you got your degree, it would be a little bump, but you're at the ceiling. So, you know, when you don't have any growth in your current job, it gets quite frustrating.
What is the point? Why am I here?
So that was in the highlight of downloadable music. So I think in the last like 6 months of my career with that company, that's what I did. It was like, I didn't really care. I knew they couldn't find somebody to replace me, so I just quite quit. Now, when I went into the coal mines, again, once I hit that ceiling, you really have to give your employees a sense of growth or something I'm going to do where I can achieve. There's a goal that I want to pursue, whether it's certification or it's a degree. Then you look at those companies and you ask them, what benefits do you give your employees? Do you have a tuition reimbursement program?
Yes.
Do you have certifications where you'll actually pay for the certifications?
Okay.
And help them get those acronyms after their name.
Okay.
But if you don't have that growth mindset in your company, you're probably going to have quite a few quiet quitters.
Sure. And how do you even know if somebody's quietly quitting? Can you point them out?
Can you spot apathy?
Can you? Yeah.
Yeah.
I can.
So it's interesting.
It's an energy. It's almost like it's felt, not said, right?
No,
well, and there's also data that probably goes along with it, some information,
yeah.
But it's sometimes it's felt.
Well,
apathy.
Like if you're on a team, and let's say you have a team of 8 or 10 people, and you know you're in a strategic meeting, and there's just one or two people that are just, they're present.
Just their bodies.
They're just a body.
Right.
They're a heartbeat.
Right.
And then the interesting thing is a different aspect that I took on with my presentation is when you think about the quiet quitters, you have to realize and ask yourself, well, why are they quiet quitting?
Yes.
Why are they disengaged?
Okay, so we're talking a lot about generations and so and how people view the hustle and if they're willing to go above and beyond. So how do you engage a group of people that are in multi-generations? Do you have an Xer and a Zer and a beer?
So it's a beer. So the ones that we talk about, baby boomers, Gen X.
Are baby boomers still working?
Yes, they are. So they are going to be the biggest retiree group that we've had through a generation. So we just went through the silent generation, which they are the ones that have retired before us or before the boomers. Boomers are getting close to the retirement age. So I've worked at the city for now 7 years and our tenure.
Okay.
It was when I first started there, it was 11 and a half years, which totally surprised me. Shocked. So coming from the coal mines where we had, you know, your average lifespan was maybe 2 years. So they would get in, they would realize that, yeah, I only work half the year, but a quarter of that year is on nights for 12 hours. And they realized, yeah, that's not much fun. So when I went to the city and we started talking about the generations, so right now our tenure is right about 8.5 years.
Okay.
So ideally, when I look at that, I'm like, well, that's really cool. So when I went to the HR director and I said, man, our longevity, our tenure with our employees is, you know, 8.5 years. He wasn't surprised because he'd worked in government for a while. And I said, well, that tells me a couple things. One, that people like their job, they like who they work with, they like their boss, they like the pay, they like the benefits, because if any one of those five, they would have already left.
Yep.
So it's exciting. So what you have to do to target a multi-generational division is, one, you have to have that personal connection. So when it comes,
because that really transcends all of the generations,
because
that's the one thing that's the thread.
And it's like my wife always says, you can't play favorites. You know who your favorites are, but you really can't.
How many kids do you have? Okay. So you at least have one favorite.
Yeah. So
you at least have a favorite. I do. I have a favorite. I have four kids. I have a favorite. Absolutely. And I have a favorite. I have two favorites. I have three. There's just this one that's kind of, that's absolutely. And I just, these, yeah.
So it's interesting. So you'll understand that. Now let's switch from quiet quitting into parenting quitting.
Okay.
So you have one child out of your lot that rubs you the wrong way, pushes your buttons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. It's probably not the same one for your husband.
Absolutely.
So
right
in our family. So Zach is 22, Shaylee is 20, and Shaylee is my princess. I've always been the father daughter dance kind of dad.
I love this.
And so, but when I have my son and my wife in the same room, it's like oil and jet fuel and a match. And he knows what buttons to push.
Oh, that's mean.
So I'm telling him, I'm like, you realize that, you know, when you spin up mom, that affects the whole household.
Very good.
So if you just tone it down, and there'll be issues where she'll go, don't you see him disrespecting me? And I'm like, I'm standing there watching. I'm like, he's having fun. He's making fun. I don't see it. She's like, oh, you're just like him. I'm like, well, that's not true. But so it's interesting. So when you go, you take quiet quitting and quiet parenting and you take it back to the workforce, you need to have a connection. So you need to know what makes that person tick. What are they passionate about?
Yes.
What excites them? So when we talk about the work environment, I love the little slammer hand.
Isn't that wonderful? I dressed appropriate to do it today, and I'm very excited.
Okay. Yeah, it's good. So you're anyway.
Yesterday I had a dress on, but today I'm going to literally send it through the roof.
Sweet. So we digress. So when we talk about quiet quitting, you need to have the connection. But if you have somebody that's really into busy work, they really thrive on, you know, data entry or something.
Admin.
Yeah, and you give that information and that work to somebody that's not tech savvy, how successful are they going to be?
They're going to lose their mind.
They're going to be,
yes,
the wonderful gifts and little videos we've had over the year of them throwing the computer through the wall.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to find out what excites them. Yes, I know it's work, and I understand that work can still be fun. Most of the companies that I've worked for, my positivity comes out in, I have a sense of energy that I like to share with everyone. Well, I'm either going to be your cup of tea or I'm not going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that. So those people that I know that they're a little more introverted, you know, I give them space. You know, I let them know I'm coming. first of all. Hey, how's everyone doing?
Right.
And they can run and hide and do whatever they want to do. But I respect their decision that they're an introvert and maybe I'm not their cup of tea, but I know I'm going to have their trust and respect, and they still value me. Nice. And that's the big thing with quiet quitters is they feel undervalued, underpaid, and not listened to. So if you give them an opportunity, one of the things where I got most of the, probably the head nods, you know, the, oh yeah, I totally understand what you're getting with, is when management asks for ideas, let's say it's something like a simple safety solution, and you solicit ideas from your employees, you have to actually read what they wrote. Because if you keep soliciting ideas,
yes,
but not do anything with their information.
Right. What's the point? It's not.
We're just doing this to check a box.
Right.
And that's the thing that's really important. And I've seen this before in coal mining specifically. But when you have that 15 to 30 minute little powwow with each employee, you've got to get through the small talk. That's not the importance. You need to find out, hey, how are you doing?
Right.
So what's going on in your life right now? You know, especially with a quiet quitter, if you feel them distancing themselves, not really calling them out of the group, but, you know, hey, catch up with them in the hall and say, hey, I noticed that you were kind of disengaged in our meeting. You know, hey, can you tell me what's going on? And really have an open communication where they can actually say, yeah, you know, I'm going through some marital issues right now.
Sure.
Or I have a sick kid in the hospital. If you wouldn't have done anything and you just went, hey, Tim, how you doing? And kind of went about your way. There's no connection. Now that I've taken time out of my busy schedule to connect with you, how much more prone do you think that person is going to be receptive in the next meeting?
Yes.
They're going to go, oh, that guy cares about me. And you really have to obviously talk the talk, but you have to walk the walk because employees see right through it.
Yeah.
If you have the safety cheerleader up there that's going, yeah, safety is really important and safety is number one, la, 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 all those monikers that people use. But then they see you go out and do something completely opposite. Well, your ethics just been lost. So that's the thing that I really say for a multi-generational division is really you have to identify with each person. Just like in adult training mode or adult learning mode, you can't just do lectures all the time because that's going to, you know, gravitate to certain people.
Right.
Other people are going to be just, they're tuned out. Hey, can I just sign the attendance sheet and leave? Because I can get this online. I can read myself.
Okay? Right.
I don't need you to read to me. So it's interesting that the quiet quitting, it isn't a new concept. It's been around for many, many generations.
I like the alliteration in it, and it creates like some energy around it. And there's a lot of people that quiet quit. And I think it's a really good idea to bring this to the forefront and say like when and really be aware, like who you are seeing kind of start to disassociate. Yeah. And then like just bring them forward with connection.
Because you have two different styles of quiet quitters. You have the adamant, outspoken, and you have the ones that are on the fence.
Right.
So maybe we went through a performance evaluation and they didn't get a rating. But they don't have the backbone or they don't have the power and authority to really have the conversation with boss. They don't have the confidence. Well, what can I do different? We had a recent interview for a senior admin position, and the interview is over, and this young lady, she wasn't as confident as some of the other candidates, but two things she did which connected with us. One, at the end, she said, okay, so if I am not the successful person, can you tell me what I could do to improve? And I was like, okay, she just went from a C to a B minus or a B plus. Then the other thing is, and it's the simple things that people forget, is the next day she brought in a card thanking us for the opportunity. I was like, whew. I mean, there are certain things you can do, whether you get the job or not.
Mm-hmm.
But those are certain things you do to have that connection. That person has a connection now.
People are starting to kind of forget about the people to people connection, or just not forgetting about it, but just think that there's easier ways to do it.
Well,
we just don't do it. Yes.
Really screwed us on that because we became okay with doing everything online. And so we lost that personal connection.
Yes.
The one thing you mentioned that I really wanted to touch on is early detection.
Yes.
If you see someone disengaged, let's say somebody, you know, in your group, usually they're kind of engaged and now you see they're not as engaged. And I've had people do this to me. They go, so what's wrong, Randy? And I'm like, what? And they go, oh, you seem distracted.
Right.
I'm like, oh, I am. I have like 19 other things. Doing, but no, I'm here. So
right.
Just that simple thing of checking in.
That's brings you in.
Well, I mean, if you just feel like, you're an employee number and you're just there to do a job. there's not a lot of excitement in there. No one gets really excited to go to work. And it really, you need to ask yourself if you are on the borderline fence of being a quiet quitter. So simple concept, do you have to go to work or do you get to go? So I realized in the latter career in the coal mines, so I spent 10 years in the coal mines, towards the end, I had...
Right.
I look for any excuse. Can I take a sick day today? But now working in the city, dude, I love it. I get to go. I'm excited for what's going to happen and get to be around the people that...
Sure. So if you're in a place that you're quiet quitting and you can't get engaged, maybe it's time to move on.
Yeah. And Dr. Henry Cloud, so two books that I really pushed in my presentation. There's four authors to this book. It's called Crucial Conversations.
Okay.
Having the Difficult Conversation. And really that book has helped me so much in, I know I have to have a conversation with you. I know you're quite quitting. I have to do with tact.
Sure.
Some soft skills. But then the other book, which blew my mind. So running mine rescue teams for 10 years, we had quite a few quiet quitters. We had the ones that were just there so they could wear the red hat. You know, the prestige of wearing the red hat. Would they respond to Maydays? Probably not, but they wore the red hat. So we had quiet quitters back then. But the coolest book that I've ever read is by Dr. Henry Cloud. It's called Necessary Endings.
Oh, I love that.
So there, he actually takes pruning a rose bush, okay? So he has a rose bush and he says, there's three types of buds. There's the great ones that are going to continue to thrive. There's the good ones. And then there's the ones that are dead. The realizing it's time to prune. So you obviously cut off the dead.
Yes.
But you're going to cut off some good ones to save the great ones. So if you have that opportunity.
So good.
Oh my God.
So good.
We got it as kind of a leadership supplement, a DVD. I plugged it in. I was listening to work one day and I was, what did he just, I had to rewind. I'm like, he's talking about pruning a rose bush? What is that? What's that mean? But really having the crucial conversation to realize maybe I have someone in a conversation, but they would be happier somewhere else.
Absolutely.
And sometimes maybe it's time for them to go
down. Absolutely.
The other concept that I talk about in my presentation is Bob. So if everybody has a problem with Bob, who do you think the real issue is? It's probably Bob. Maybe Bob is. And it's interesting when you plug that person out and you take that person out, how now the team thrives because they're not constantly worrying about impressing Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Or staying away
from worrying about Bob or like walking on eggshells around Bob.
Oh, Bob's in the room?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm just going to, yeah. Yeah.
It's not as important. Yeah, and that's the thing. But the interesting thing is with employment, it's such a low number across the nation, there's not a lot of opportunities for people to go find another job. So that's why they entertain the idea. Well, I'll do just the bare minimum. Stay here.
Stay under the radar.
I like the benefits. I like the pay. Yeah, it could be better. But am I really going to find something better? And for some people, like the interesting thing from the Gen X and the baby boomers is we were raised in the ideology of being loyal to your company. My first job, I was with that company for 12 years. I would never have thought to leave that company until I reached the ceiling. So when you have those opportunities that maybe we don't have as many opportunities. The interesting thing about the Gen Z, which I didn't realize until really doing the research for this presentation, was the simple fact Gen Zers are okay with not working 9 to 5. They're okay with part-time gigs. They're okay with small little like seasonal work.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if I would have told my dad as a Gen Xer and he was a silent majority and I said, hey, dad, I'm going to quit. I'm going to be an Uber driver. Oh my God. He would have said, out.
You're not my son. You are not allowed in this family.
But I was at a conference and I want to say it was Houston or Austin or Houston. So my Lyft driver that picked me up, young individual. So he picks me up and I get in the car. And of course, I think it was going to be like a 40-minute drive. And I was like, okay, well. Here comes the extroverts.
Right.
Conversation. And I said, so, hey, you know, what do you do for a living? I mean, how long you've been Lyft driving? He goes, I've been doing this for about 2-3 months. I'm like, oh, how do you like it? Oh, I love it. Get to talk to people. And I'm like, well, you know, in a Gen Xer, I'm like, well, what's your real job? And he goes, oh, I left a 6-figure IT job. I'm like, to drive Lyft. Now I feel my dad talking through me. Are you serious? And he's like, yeah, it just, and I go, well, can you tell me why? And he goes, it just wasn't fun. He goes, I didn't feel like I was a part of something. And it didn't feel like my work contributed to anything. And I was bored. He goes, so I started up my own warehouse business and I had another side hustle. And yeah, I do this lift on the side. And I'm like, and you're not living in your parents' house? No, I have my own house. I'm like, wow, that's so weird. Me, I couldn't even think that. Mm-mm. Like, I talked to a guy at lunch today. He said that he left his job. He wasn't happy. He left his job. And for 2 months, he did a lot of honeydews and stuff. And then he realized it was time to, you know, get back amongst the workforce. And I was like, I could never even imagine taking 2 months off. Go crazy.
There's no way.
But it's a different generation. And they thrive on different things. Their big focus. And in the presentation, I'm not meaning to pick fun of millennials or Gen Zs. They just have a different work ethic. And it's something that we as Gen Xers need to relish and embrace, that they're not built like us. And
right.
It's okay. They all have a piece to play. They all have a part to play in the greater scheme of our work life. And we just need to find out what that is and how it's going to benefit the company and also benefit the employee. So
I love it.
Finding those passions of what they love to do and just getting them in a very win-win situation. And that's going to be probably the hardest part for multi-generational divisions, is really trying to find out. You can't do the shotgun effect and do the same thing for everyone, because it's not going to excite. Like, some people are going to be, yeah, let's go, I'll charge right now. And you'll have other ones that are like, you know.
I don't think so.
Can I go inventory the warehouse? That sounds like more fun. I don't have to interact with people.
Well, I love the quiet quitting concept, and I'll put all your contact information there on the information. Yes. And I really appreciate this. Very thoughtful, very good stuff. Thank you.